Praise to our live stream listeners and those in our presence. Welcome to the remaining of Teachers How to Pray. Give praises unto our Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions coming in from the live stream listeners? Okay, good. Did you tell anybody the Holy Ghost was in them since the last time we ministered? How did it affect them? How did it affect them,
The person I told had a lot of joy, and they said it back with a lot of joy.
Okay. Amen. Anyone else? I'm surprised that you didn't get to tell nobody that wasn't quite moving the way the Lord wanted them to move, and you just told them that now the Holy Ghost is in you. Nobody did that, right? Give it a mic because that is very good.
On myself.
You told yourself?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And what effect did you get?
I was very happy. It made me more conscious that He is in me.
That's exactly what it was supposed to do. And when the God of this world talks to you, that was supposed to give you all kinds of little victories that was powerful, because the Lord is telling you to do little things that if you're not conscious, you're not going to do it. And it's powerful to be able to do that. And that was supposed to really make you see how much the enemy would back up from you when he comes to you and you declare, the Holy Ghost is in me. It can answer anything. And you gotta start exercising yourself like that. Anyone want to say something about that? Anyone else? Any questions? Anything? Was
Boss, on Thursday when you came and you asked the question, "Where are you?"
Uh huh.
If you were to ask me, I wouldn't. How should I have answered that? Is that a How should I?
If you were observing, the moment I asked Minister Sarah, something happened, didn't it? Or did it? I know you. Yeah. Because I came out the aisle, and when I asked Minister Sarah, "Where are you?" She answered me. And the spirit in her ignited with the spirit in me in oneness and agreement. And I knew she told me the truth. So her conscience served her, and so did mine bear witness to her. Did you catch that? Her conscience served her enough for her to know where she is. That's what your purged conscience does, is makes you know where you are. When she released it to me, my conscience bared witness to her. Okay? And when my conscience bared witness to her, it was established. And that's what you got to understand. Okay. Does that make sense? So, and everybody else, of course, I got all kind of answers, right? Because the whole thing was, why didn't, because I was like 35, something like that, late. And I wanted to see, what did you do with that time? Waiting on me, right? Right. 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 Now, Minister Sarah wasn't waiting on me. She was using that time and was so profitable that when I came in and she spoke, and her conscience served her, and my conscience bared witness to her, and it was established that she had told me the truth. Waiting on me is no different than the way we sit back and wait on Jesus. We do it all the time. Nobody pricks us, and we sit back and say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Is faith a waiting, or is it a now? Wait a minute, come on. Is faith a waiting, or is it a now? Which one is it? Then what is it that you cannot exist in the now by faith? What is it? If faith is now, what is it that I'm preaching that you aren't experiencing? It's faith is now.
You're not in that consciousness.
Bye. Come on.
We're not in that conscious.
Why?
Because of, we won't stay there. We and love us. We talk to us.
What are some of the things that makes us not stay there? Mike?
Foxes will come and eat.
Put some clothes on it, because I know we would not allow a four-legged fox to eat on us. We'll be
trials,
running.
Trials. Trials.
Put some clothes on it.
Work, what you're doing daily.
Okay.
Will come and rob us.
Okay.
Rob me, and let me speak for me.
So the cares of the world.
Yes, sir.
Even though it's job related, they become cares.
Yes.
And we still don't know how to
talk,
release them.
Care.
Yes. Go ahead. I want to hear you.
I was just going to say distractions.
Put some clothes on it.
Distractions of things of the world. I mean,
put some clothes on it. Who knows what I mean when I say put clothes on it? Tell me.
You mean like get personal? Don't shield it. Get personal.
Say it again.
Get personal.
Say it again.
Get personal.
Which means you got to tell me something about who? saying it's got what on it? But the clothes is just how it shows up with who? You.
With us individually.
So, yes, individually. But your clothes may not be someone else's clothes,
that's right.
But all our clothes come from the same spirit if it's flesh. Mm-hmm. Right? So we came to church and said there are some big sins and there are some little sins. Right? It's because of clothes, and there are laws in us that we okay certain sins, but we just have a fit when it comes to other ones. Is that true?
That's true.
That's self-righteousness, right? And the scripture concluded that what? All unrighteousness is what?
Sin.
So he took all the clothes off of it and says, if unrighteousness come out of you, it is what?
Sin.
Now, why is that true? I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. Why is that true? Who wants to help me? Why is it true that all unrighteousness is sin? Why is that true? Now,
because of the way we were born. The seed that until we were regenerated.
You can grab the answer out of what you just said, but you're going to have to do a lot of legwork. To tell me the way we were born, yes, the answer is buried down in that statement.
Mm-hmm.
How to get it out of that statement, the answer. Why is all unrighteousness sin? And you can pull it out of that statement, but how would you pull it out of that statement? All unrighteousness is sin. And if you know how to build, it's easy. Your answer is easy if you know how to build.
Is it because of the consciousness?
Yes.
Is it because of the consciousness that we were born with? It couldn't make us do right. So when we move unrighteously, we move out of that conscience. So that's why he said all unrighteousness is sin, because it's coming out of that evil conscience.
Keep going. Keep going.
I'm trying not to think. That's what I'm trying not to do.
I don't want you to.
Right. I'm trying not to.
I want you to listen. Okay. Let's build. I got to show you how to build. And building is going to keep you from receiving any mind that's disjointed and don't connect. If any mind is ministering to you and is not connecting with who the Lord says you are, do not receive it. It's going to lead you where? That's how you're led away. A mind got to speak to you outside of what the Lord is saying. Adam and the woman are led away by the serpent, because they're receiving what? Knowledge and wisdom that did not come from who? Now, if I speak to you by the Holy Ghost and then you listen to your flesh, you are also going to be what? Now, you can't be your flesh on the Holy Ghost, can you? So you got to make a decision. Who am I going to hear? Am I going to hear the Holy Ghost, or am I going to hear my flesh? I can't hear both of them because it makes me lukewarm.
When you say that, because we're so given to our flesh, but we don't call it flesh. You know what I'm saying? We don't call it flesh.
We do not.
Because it's so intertwined with the personality of flesh, which we have yield to over the years. So when we hear you minister and then you say if we're led away, we're just thinking we're just being daydream. We just think something just moved us out of that place, but we won't call it flesh.
We would not call it flesh.
So how can I not be led away at the moment that you are ministering if I'm doing this all week long? If I'm giving it to that voice all week long, and I come in here and I hear you, it's going to be very difficult for me to follow you.
Very difficult.
And so when you say that, it's almost like, it's like we know better. That's what it's like when you know not to, but we don't know because we think it's us. If that makes sense.
Yes. You feel like you feel, it's like we feel like it's okay to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you know how much I can almost put a measuring stick on it. How much do you do and don't acknowledge the Lord, should you? That tells you how much you feel free to do. And he said, acknowledge him in
all your ways.
So that's what you're revealing. That's how much of us we feel like it is what? Okay. Because if he tells me to acknowledge him in all my ways, I got this list of things I can just do because I think it's just a part of life. It's something I want to do. I don't need to acknowledge him. If I get in trouble now, I'm going to call on him. But it's what you're saying, that's what, there is a spirit that okays what we do, which means that your conscience isn't serving you. So what I do when I preach the gospel, I got to prick your conscience. I got to turn it in every kind of angle that God wants me to turn it. I keep turning until it agitates you. I keep turning it until it kind of hits you. And the Lord gives me the wisdom to know how to turn it. And keep turning it until you see it and you feel it. And after a while, you go home and you can't shake it. Because that's what comes from laying on you. Whenever the Lord gets ready to break something in you, he's not going to just tap you like this and leave you alone. He is actually going to lay on you. And you go home, you ain't going to shake it. You do it, you're going to wake up with it. He's going to lay on you. Because that's how he breaks you and make you conscious. But just to touch you and then, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. He's got to lay on you for some days until that thing break that thing in you. And he can lay on you like that. You can tell when he laying on you. Is that true? Or is that just me? Yeah, we know when he lays on you. And you know he's not going anywhere. He just lays there. And you can feel it. It's enough to keep pricking you. That's how he breaks that spirit of righteousness in us. And if he doesn't lay on you like that, you're real self-righteous. Now back to the question. All unrighteousness is sin. Let's build. Now, what kind of righteousness did Abraham have? Faith. Somebody just got to repeat it in our mic or say it.
Faith.
Because Abraham what?
Father faith.
Believed God and it was counted unto him for what?
Righteous.
Say it again. Abraham what?
Believed
God and it was what? Then the writers, that's Old Testament, right? The New Testament, he says, all unrighteousness is what? Now take those two statements and tell me why. Why is all unrighteousness sin? Use a mic.
No faith.
Say it again.
No faith.
That's building. The only thing you had to do was hear the things I've taught and put it together and know. You have so many pieces. You all have a lot of precepts and concepts that I've taught you, but it hasn't clicked for you. It's like a musician playing notes and can't make music. When you finish training voices, you got harmony. With all the precepts and concepts I've taught you, what am I looking for? I'm looking for this thing. I'm looking for Jesus to be seen in you. Because if you ever see him, you're going to understand everything about me, how I hear. You're going to understand everything. Because that's what all of this is doing, getting you to the place so you can what? See Jesus. And know that he's where? How? So all this righteousness that you're talking about, this is good. We're building now. We're building now. We're not going all over here and there. We're building. We're not like those sparkles that you strike a match and they go everywhere. We're building. So all this unrighteousness that she's talking about, personality intertwined, you feel okay. And we say, is that unrighteous? If he told you to acknowledge him in all your ways and you didn't acknowledge him, you don't even think about it. You just say, I got to do this, right? I got to do this, right? I got to do this, right? I got to do this. Now, when you set out to do something, what you can mention the subject matter of what you're setting out to do. If you set out to do it and don't know the details of how to do it, surely you would acknowledge him. First, you want to know, is it okay to do? Okay? Then you want the details how to do it. I don't know if we want to trust the Lord like that. Do I want to ask him about everything? And even though I don't bump my head up against the wall, and I ran to the wall, guess what I still turn around and do? You know what? Then it's after a while, you got to start asking yourself, where did this spirit come from that is so rebellious against God that even if it gets in my members, it makes me just as rebellious as it is? I'm building. So all unrighteousness is sin. Anything I do and it's not of faith. Anything you do and it's not of faith is what? Sin. Right? Anything? Anything? You know we done read the Old Testaments and we got a lot of commandments. You know it's all right. We can hold on to a few thou shalt nots, right? Any of the thou shalt nots by faith? Is any of the thou shalt nots by faith? Oh, thou shalt not is what? To deal with one another, and this is the problem. The reason you can't deal with one another the way God says deal with them, because you don't deal with one another by faith. We deal with them by righteousness, our self-righteousness. Jesus looks at a woman. Oh, this is breathtaking right here. Jesus looks at a woman that's been caught in the very act. Law says do what to her? And if it had been somebody connected to you, what would you have done? It all depends on if law was in you, huh? You don't have to go too far. Just look at your house, right? Look at how you have dealt, right? Let me say that again. Look at how you have dealt when someone has wronged you. What does he doesn't call her a whore, a harlot? He says, woman. How did he get the power to say that? And they upset at him. Well, of course, they done dropped the stones and they gone. He ain't got no Bible her now. What makes him do that? He's not trying to be modest. What enables him to do that is what you got to understand. He's doing it how? By faith. He spoke to her by faith. You got it. We take the scriptures and speak to one another by law and nothing happens to them. The moment you can speak by faith, change comes. He spoke to her by faith and said, woman, now. The faith hasn't been finished, has it? Who's going to finish it? He's going to give you the wisdom and a conscience to hold what? I'm building. You see how it's building? You're holding the whole mystery of the faith. And the word of God. Faith is nigh thee even in your what? That ain't your lips. That's not your vessel. It's in you. You know, like you hear your flesh. You hear your flesh talk to you. And it moves through your members. Where the body of flesh is what you really hear, but it touches your members to create spots in your garment. And you don't have discernment to keep it separated from the vessel and not touch it. He can say, woman, go and sin no more. Why is he able to say that? You gotta hear this. You really gotta hear this. Because if you hear this, you're gonna understand how to speak by faith. What is it? He can't just throw those words around. You know how we just see somebody, oh, you know, you all right, you know, the Lord will forgive you. Did he do it like that? Yeah, but we do it like that, don't we? And don't nothing happen to him, do it. And no change come to it. Because we didn't speak by faith. He speaks out of his conscience. And he's unveiling the mystery of faith even to a woman caught in the very act. He's unveiling the mystery of faith to the woman with the issue of blood. He's unveiling the mystery of the faith, because in the Old Testament, they all receive, but none of them could finish it. So they all died in the faith. Oh God, this is so beautiful. This is beautiful. They died in the faith. How do you know they died in the faith? Can you be here with me? How do you know they died in the faith?
They had a hope.
Yeah.
I know you're not talking about the resurrection, but they had a hope of the resurrection when they died in faith. Maybe I'm not answering that right.
That's exactly right.
Oh.
To die in the faith is to die without receiving the end of the faith. What is the end of the faith? When Jesus died, had he finished the faith? He didn't die in the faith. He died because he had what? And he's saying on the cross what? And we used to wonder, what's finished? The mystery of godliness is finished. Faith is finished. Hope is finished. Love is made manifest. It's complete. He finished the faith. Give up the ghost. And what's the proof? What's the proof he finished it? Mike.
The resurrection, and that he was made both Lord and Christ.
He got up. And those in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that did not finish the faith, did not want deliverance, looking for a what? Better what? Because for God to raise you from the dead is not a better resurrection, because you can still die again. For God to restore your eyesight and do miracle signs and wonders and grow limbs back, that's not a better resurrection. And yet, that's what we seek. We don't seek the better resurrection. And Paul said, these things will we do if God permit. We are in the place and the shift in the new covenant is this. You are going to see things shift, and everybody chasing all those miracles that are history that people have been reading. The Lord is turning things, and it's for the better. I'm not trying to find a cure to keep from getting sick. That's not even the gospel I'm preaching. I want the body that can't get sick. Amen. That's the better. Is that the better or not? Amen. I'm not coming against no miracles, because Jesus didn't close any doors, did he? He left them all open. So there are those that will pass through these things. But Paul said, in his Hebrews 6, God, you got to read that. That's 6th chapter. It's coming off the page right now. The enemy does much damage to us because we don't have knowledge. He does much damage to us because we don't have knowledge. He can't mess with no one that has knowledge. He's got to make you believe a lie. And anytime you believe a lie, it's evident you don't have what? You don't have the excellency of knowledge. Hebrews 6, I'm sorry. Listen, I'll get that. Listen to this real close, because this is coming off the page right here. Yes, you started the first, because you're going to hit it real quick. Hebrews 6:1, you're going to hit it real quick.
Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection.
Notice the purpose is for us to go on to what? Getting healings after healings is not perfection. Go ahead.
Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit.
Is he saying that God will stop that at some point? Read that again. See if you hear this.
Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit.
If God permit? So evidently he's not going to continue to allow that, right? It had his day. Go tell that fox. Today and tomorrow I do what? Cures. And a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So today and tomorrow, 2,000 years, we are in 2,000 and what? 26. We're in the third day. Jesus being a divider of time. ADBC. Go ahead.
Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
Listen, that verse came alive, I think it was last week, and I just spoke it. It says, you put him to an open shame. He died under sin how many times? And whose sin did he die for? Ours. Listen closely. And then he gets in us, right? And Jesus Christ is supposed to dwell in us how? Examine yourself whether you are in the what? And Christ is supposed to be dwelling in your what? And every woman is supposed to adorn herself after the handmaid. Where is your conscience? Do that one again. And I may stop you at points. Listen to this. Give me the verse.
Hebrews 6 verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come.
Wait a minute. The powers of the world to come? Wait a minute. The powers of the what? World what? That means while you're in this world, you can taste the power of the worlds to come. Because your conscience can take you into that place. Go ahead.
Verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance.
Look, renew them again unto what? Repentance. Now she started off the doctrines of baptism and repentance, right? Renew them unto repentance, seeing they do what?
Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh.
Now wait a minute. You say in that he died under sin what? And he shouldn't die no more. Then why, when he comes in you, you crucify him through your flesh and do to him what the world did to him? Oh, God. God, my friend, he said, that is the gospel. We, when he comes in us, we crucify him afresh because of the lusts of the world that's still in our members. What do you mean you crucify him? You won't let him have your members. Because whomsoever you yield your members to, that's whose servant you are. Whose conscience is serving them, that when unrighteousness come out of our members, that we are crucifying him and don't give him free course when we has tasted the word of God? Do you know you have tasted the word of God? Because I've given it to you. Listen, now do you feel the weight of communion? That as often as you do this, what are you supposed to show forth? His death until what? What is the coming of the Lord? What is the coming of the Lord? What is the coming of the Lord? My.
His coming is when he comes to not only reside in us, but to lay on us forever.
And I want to add to that, Bill, to come in. Give him a mic.
I was thinking the same thing till he come to reveal himself within us.
And what has to happen before that happens?
Death.
More.
Denial.
More. Why hasn't he come to all of us? Oh, we waiting on him, huh? Why hasn't he come? We waiting on him, right? Why hasn't he come? Why?
Because it's a knowledge in us that we hadn't died to.
More. Keep going.
So if there's a knowledge in us that we hadn't died to, we hadn't allowed our blood purged conscious to reside over the death that's in us. That didn't make sense.
For the woman. For the woman. Who has to fall?
The son of petition.
Who?
The son of petition.
For the woman.
Oh, yes. It is it all. Mm-hmm.
For the woman.
That man.
Oh. It's the harlot.
Give her a mic.
For the woman, it's the harlot. For the man, it's the son of perdition.
Where is this harlot? What is her name? What is her name?
Babylon.
The
great or
the
great or
mother of harlots. And where is she sitting?
On the hill, 7 hills.
And Jerusalem has 7 hills geographically, and there are 7 gates in you and doors where she sits and calls iniquity to come out of us, perverseness. Unrighteousness comes out of us because they get in the wheels that are in us.
Please correct me. My prayer has constantly been for the whore not only to fall, but for the son of perdition to fall away from my doors, and then the harlot from my gates. So I thought, give me better understanding.
Did Jesus finish the work? Is the book of Revelation about Jesus? Is it? Did he finish it? In the book of Revelation, did she fall? In the book of Revelation, is the mark of the beast revealed? Is the lamb that John wept was able to open the 7 seals and loose the 7 trumpets and the vows on it? Did he finish that work?
It's to witness it, though.
Nah, we getting somewhere. Well, that's your responsibility. If thou canst believe it. The reason the Lord can't come, Thessalonians told us what? There has to be a falling away first. The falling away has to do with what's in the temple. Right? So the gospel is preached. So the reason I have to constantly reveal to you the son of perdition and tell you everything all along the way that's going on in me and reveal it, because I know when I have revealed everything about him, I'm not worried about the rest. It's impossible for it not to come. Everyone gonna have to reveal it that really wants the glory. If you want it. I have to reveal it. But I'm not revealing it apart from me. I reveal it through me, because my birth certificate cannot compensate for the mystery of iniquity, the mark of the beast. I couldn't possibly live long enough in my body to man. That's impossible. So your conscience have to take you into the realm of the spirit, that you might see how iniquity weaved itself through your members. When you understand people's sin didn't start with them, and it's sure not going to end with them, you'll deal with people differently when you start understanding that the body is the weakest member it is, and yet we attack the body and won't be merciful to the body because we don't know how to separate the wheat and the tares. We don't know how to separate the wheat and the tares because we attack bodies. We attack personage. And if that's what you're going to attack, you messing up everything. Best to leave it alone. Because you don't know how. You don't have a word that is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. When the word of God comes out of your mouth, like Hebrews 4:12 said, you can speak and you ain't got to worry about not separating the wheat from the tare, because the word of God can do it. And it's a discerner of the intents and the thoughts of men's heart. That's what the word does. So there's this constant revealing going on. For the Lord to be revealed in us, do you know who you gonna know?
Myself.
And who else are you going to know? You're going to get past you, because you ain't the origin of nothing. When he finished revealing, you're going to find out what he's revealing in you ain't got nothing to do with your birth certificate. It's got to do with Adam in that garden and the woman in that garden. Until you get to that place, you're not going to understand what's being revealed in you. But the God of this world makes you keep this stuff personal and make you have pride and make you think it's about you. It is not about you. It's about your salvation in that garden. God made a man to serve him. He made a woman to be fruitful and multiply. He never made anything with a curse, and he never had anything to have a miscarriage. He's not the God of thorn, briars, and thistles. We just got used to it, and we love this life for some reason. And after we finish, it's still death in it, because everything in this world is unrighteous. It's no faith in it. It's none whatsoever. You know what, the Lord... you got to be balanced. You got to be balanced in your life. Your life has to be balanced. Because if you don't, you're going to pay a great price. You're going to pay a great price for your journey if your life is imbalanced. And you'll get at the end of your journey when your soul will not give you another breath. And though you cry out for more days and want to live, your soul has nothing else to give you, because you have not done well with the breath your soul has already given you. That was the conclusion with the rich man and the beggar. He never allowed his soul to pour into something that could give back to it. He poured out his soul for himself. You know why the devil wants your soul? Because your life is there. So he gives him access to all of you. And he will suck the blood out of you until ain't nothing left in you. You know what that means? Let me unveil. That means that you don't have any blood left to give to the Lord. And all you're going to give the Lord at that point is a Cain sacrifice, because you can't give him a blood one. It's impossible for you to hold the knowledge that I'm teaching you and the God of this world make you sin. That's impossible. In order for you to sin, you got to let go of the truth, because he can't take it away from you. You have to turn it loose.